It is so good to be able to announce that things are starting again. It's just lovely to announce that our Girls Brigade are beginning just to come together in whatever way that works out, that MTT, our Youth Fellowship, will be meeting, that JAM is meeting, and these things are, it's just so good that they're happening. And bit by bit, we're moving in the right direction. And it is good to see that, and it's to be encouraged. But I think we all recognize that there are going to be ups and downs on this. That it will not be a straight road. It will not be a sort of level path as we move forward. It will be times when it's just not straightforward. We do face a bumpy road in many ways. But it's important to keep traveling in the correct direction. Sometimes it's not easy to travel on a road that's bumpy because you're diverted, you're backwards and forwards, you're stopping, you're starting, you just wish you were off that road on something easier and better. And it would be so easy just to stop traveling in the right direction. Ezra chapter 4 that Victor read for us is really the story of a bumpy road. The Jews have been sent back to Jerusalem. God has used Cyrus, this pagan emperor, to send the Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild the glory of the temple, to put back the walls around Jerusalem, to restore it to what it used to be. Now, surely, God has called his people to do something for him. This must be a straight road. This must be a level path. This must be an easy way to go. It's God's will after all. Jerusalem must be restored, but the road becomes bumpy. They're offered help from their neighbors. I wonder if you've ever been doing something around the house or the garden and you would just love the doorbell to ring and say, I see you're cutting the hedge. Would you like a hand with it? I see you're doing a bit of decorating. Would you like somebody to help you out with it? Wouldn't it be lovely if people did that? Well, it seems that in the beginning of this story, the folks around Jerusalem came alongside those Jews and said, we'll come and help you. And in some ways, it seems a wee bit churlish to refuse. They simply say, no, we're doing this. If you go back and discover who these people were, the folks that lived around Judah and Jerusalem, you discover 2 Kings chapter 17, even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were also serving their idols. These were people who just had a foot in every camp, a finger in every pie. They worshiped their idols, but just in case, well, they also went along and worshiped the Lord. They wanted to be involved in all of that. They wanted to be involved in everything that happened. And God's people just said, no, actually, we want to worship God and God alone. We'll do this on our own. We'll do this because God has called us to it. And it does seem at times churlish, but here's the danger. Here's the danger. It is all too easy to absorb so much of the culture and the world around us that we become totally indistinguishable from it. God sent his people back into Jerusalem to be distinctive, to set up this place of worship for him. And that's what they must do. Jesus later on would call his disciples to be salt and light. The implication is you're going into a place that needs salt. You're going into a dark place that needs light. Don't become like the world around you. Paul in Romans talks about us not being squeezed into the mold of the world around us. We can take on so much of the culture from the world around us that we become totally indistinguishable from it, and we lose that salt. We stop being light. And so God's people at that time say, well, actually, thank you for the offer, but no, we're going to build this on our own to the glory of God. Now, we need to find a balance here. We're not called to be isolated and on our own, far from it. But neither are we called to become just like everybody else. May God give us the grace and the wisdom to find that balance as we restart and rebuild. So the Jews say, no, actually, we're going to do this on our own. And then the aggro starts. Then the opposition really starts. Verses 4 and 5 simply say, then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Jerusalem or Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They even hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans. So these people who came alongside and said, look, we'll help you. We would like to help you build this temple. Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. Whenever the Jew says, no, actually, we're called to do this on our own, suddenly the knives are out. You know them by their fruits. And they start to discourage. They start to intimidate so that people are fearful of going on with that building. They even hire people to speak out and to frustrate the plans of these Jewish people as they rebuild the temple. Screwtape Letters is a book written by C.S. Lewis. It's letters written supposedly from a senior devil to a junior devil, from an experienced devil to an apprentice, finding ways to upset the church, to stop the work of the church. And in one of them, that senior devil says, have you tried discouragement? Because discouragement always works. And that's what these folks were doing. They set out to discourage God's people as they rebuilt and restored and restarted in Jerusalem. As we rebuild and restart, we shouldn't be surprised if the road gets bumpy. It would be lovely if everything just opened up and everything was smooth and plain sailing and easy going, but we should not be surprised if the road gets bumpy. For Satan will always try to obstruct God's people when they're on the move. When God's people are on the move, Satan will be active. We should expect a bumpy road. He still uses discouragement. He still uses fear. He still uses opposition. And we need to be careful when we talk about Satan being at work. There are two almost opposite dangers for us. One is that we just rubbish it. We have this picture in our heads of this caricature of somebody with little horns and a little forked tail and a spear in his hand, and we laugh at that cartoon caricature. The other danger is we see Satan at work in everything. Anything that goes wrong, anything that upsets us, anything that annoys us, anything that seems out of sorts, we say, well, that's Satan at work. We need to be careful that we don't get caught in either of those two extremes. As always, the truth is in the middle. Satan will still use every opportunity to disrupt the work of God and his people. And he does it by frustrating and discouraging and intimidating his people. That's why when we move through to the New Testament, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. Paul recognizes the intensity of this struggle, of this battle, of this warfare. And so we put on this armor to protect us in that battle. It's interesting when that little passage about the armor of God starts, it says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and then put on the armor of God. Human effort is inadequate. But God's power is invincible. So be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Jesus, the promise of Jesus is, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. All of the forces that are opposed to Jesus Christ and his kingdom will not overcome his will. He will build his church. We need to be certain about who we serve and about how we serve him. It's not about our gifts and abilities. It's about his power. It's about his will. It's about his grace. And so we need to be people who continually turn to God. How often have we sung these words? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. These folks in Jerusalem could have sung this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Have we trials and temptations, trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. How often when we hit that bumpy road, do we just turn to ourselves? We can sort this. I can sort this. You can sort this. Take it to the Lord in prayer. For God is still watching over his people. The God who led and guided these folks back to Jerusalem to rebuild and restore the temple and the city is still the same God who watches over us, who leads us and guides us as we restart and rebuild and restore. We have a Savior who is risen and living. Jesus sits at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for his people right now. Right now. Jesus is praying for us. Still with that promise that he will build his church. He's still at work. He's still watching us. He's still leading us. Still guiding us. There are bumpy roads ahead. Of course there are. But we're not traveling alone. We travel together. There's great encouragement in traveling together. I know I've told you the story many times of the last Belfast to Dublin motorcycle that I did with a friend. And boy, did I struggle during that. But going up hills, Alan would get along beside me and just put his hand on the small of my back. And he, long before electric assist, I had Alan assist going up hills. Traveling that road together made a difference. Traveling on my own, I would have been stopped in Lisburn on the way down from Belfast, probably. Traveling together makes a world of difference. That's why God has placed us in fellowship together. So we encourage and support each other on these bumpy roads. That's why we encourage you to be part of a small group. Because there you have that fellowship to encourage each other. That's why we want you to come and pray together here. Because that's how and where and why we encourage each other. We do not travel this road alone, and we need to lean into Jesus together. We need to lean into Jesus. We need to trust in all that he has done on the cross and in his glorious resurrection. We need to trust in him that he is working out his purposes here and now and on these bumpy roads. So we lean into Jesus together. We find encouragement in him and in each other. So there are bumpy roads ahead in lots of different ways. But we move in the right direction when we trust in Jesus, when we believe God's will for us, and when we stand firm in him. May God give us the grace to do just that. Let's take a moment and pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to be part of your family. And for all of the joy of that, we give you thanks. And yet we thank you too that you've given us responsibility for each other. And help us, Lord, to take that responsibility seriously. But most of all, help us to be strong in you, to be strong in your mighty power, that in these days we may see your kingdom come and your name lifted high. For we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.